Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And I'm Jonathan Fraser.
Well, it's only been 2 months, but we're back on air. And I took a little hiatus because I had to go to Victoria to go to school. Finish up my gas ticket. So that's all done.
Congratulations. Glad to be done.
Yeah, very glad. It's been a lot. It's six trips down to Victoria, like six separate 6 week stints, so I'm done with it. Time to move on. Yeah.
Do some podcasting,
do some writing. Oh, I guess I gotta work too.
Yeah.
I got too many ideas in my head to go to work all the time.
True.
You know what that's like.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I just have to learn how to say no sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of that, this weekend was the BC Shellfish Association's
sixth annual
BC Shellfish Festival. That's what it is.
On the Father's Day weekend here. So not only did I have a nice big Father's Day Sunday morning brunch.
Oh, right. I forgot about that too.
It's been a lot on the go for me. Yeah. This has been my crazy week. So
No kidding.
Cooking class with Beyond the Kitchen Door where I did salads, and we did a selection of Atlas salads and sort of dressings from the years around, and then it was off to a cooking demonstration for myself at the Shellfish Festival, which was another huge success. So a lot of people down there, a lot of faces, it seemed like a lot of fun, even though the wind was a little crazy.
It was cold and windy
and blowing, and I don't think there was as much rain, but it had its moments.
Yeah, there was people's display tents. They had their displays underneath were getting kind of ransacked, and
yes,
but yeah, there was a good turnout. I don't know how many numbers were there, but
it was
pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah. I think I had about 50 people for my cooking demonstration, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was a full house.
And other than bowls and plates flying off the table behind me, I think it went all right.
And Terry David Mulligan harassing you.
Terry David Mulligan, that was great. Yeah, he emceed for me and kept the audience in it, so it was a lot of fun throwing throwing questions at me, sort of throwing me off my game a little bit, but it all worked out.
And rushing you because he had to leave to go to Tofino.
That's right. But I think overall, yeah, it was a great event. I know they had the oyster shucking competition. Oh, and I can't remember who won it off the top of my head.
Guy from Rodney's Oyster Bar in Vancouver.
That's right.
I don't know what his name is. We should have done our research a little more.
A little bit better, but we're kind of putting this show together at the last minute.
Yeah.
Devin from Avenue, who used to work for me at the Atlas for a while there. I knew he came in third place.
Oh, wow.
Which was
good.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And a guest of ours here, actually, for the chowder competition, Brian, who is our first guest and actually only guest to be on the show so far, came in first place for the Berwick with the seafood chowder competition. So that was...
Yeah, that's great.
Kind of a lot of fun.
Yeah. I didn't get to taste it.
Neither did I. We were judges. I think
we
ran out of that. You were taking some photos and helping me out a little bit down there.
And you had to get to work.
Had to go to work, so. And you didn't want to ride your bike home, so.
Yeah, no. It was too... Oh, it was terrible. But, yeah, it was nice to go down there. I hadn't been before, so yeah. I'd always meant to go see it since I'm a bit of a seafood hound, as I've said before.
Yeah, I know they had the clams going in the back one table there. The barbecue kept blowing out on them, but they kept fighting at them. We got a couple oysters there.
Yeah, we went and saw the Fanny Bay oyster booth and visited some old friends of mine, and we got a slide one.
Yeah, I know the Chef's Association was down there doing some halibut burgers and snapper burgers, and they ran out of fish, I know, at one time, we're cleaning halibut on the back of a pickup truck.
Wow.
Fresh halibut off the boat. They were just splaying it up
and straight
out in there. So, yeah, that sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great.
They also managed to take care of my scallop ceviche leftover from the class, so that's an even better bonus. So.
Yeah, I was kind of wishing that it went to my house, but, that's okay. That was fun. What else has happened in the last... 2 months. Oh, we were going to talk about the Tin Town table that we did.
Right, yeah. We did the little underground dining experience.
Yeah.
We did a 5-course dinner, I think it was, and
yeah,
that went over huge. I think we had 18 people.
Yeah,
which was definitely a lot of fun. Nice to work in someone's home kitchen and put out some food. And
that was a pretty nice kitchen.
Yeah,
that island table was great.
Center table, you could put 18 plates down at a time.
Yeah, and we couldn't have done that without that big table there.
Well, I'm glad you were there to help me out and flashed up the barbecue for some.
I had fun. That's the first fine dining, any kind of thing I've done since I left working at the Kingfisher dozen plus years ago. So
yeah,
it was cool.
It went really well.
Plating and making everything look nice and getting yelled at by the chef. No, it wasn't too bad. I spent a lot of time in the dish pit. So
yeah, that's right.
I did a lot of dishes, but I also got to eat a lot of good food that night too.
Yeah, we had to definitely sample a few of those. So yeah, we had everything there. I can't even remember.
What did we have? There was halibut. I remember halibut.
No, yeah, we did. Oh, the halibut salad, and we had...
Yeah, there was baked salmon and filo.
Baked in filo. Oh, yeah. Puff pastry.
Puff pastry.
That's what it was.
Okay.
En croute. And, it seems so long ago, and I've done so many other dinners since then that it kind of fades away there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a huge success. Definitely something I'd do again, just for the fun of it. And use it as a bit of a fundraiser to keep the podcast going so it doesn't all come out of our pocket.
Yeah, keep the dream alive.
Keep the dream alive.
Purchase some new equipment,
hopefully. Get some more microphones so we can do some more on-site interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that would be a great thing to do.
I definitely know with that chat we had with Terry David Mulligan, who really kind of promoted us and really got us gung-ho about it and sort of, you know, encouraged us to go with this. And I know he does his podcast for wine in the Okanagan, so that's something.
Yeah, in a barn on his property or something.
Yeah, he created his own studio.
Got a studio in there, yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So, road trip.
Yeah. I think, what was he saying, that he did it to make music? And then he realized he was in wine country, and what was he doing?
Yeah, and nobody was talking about wine. There was no radio programs about wine, so...
So he started going on it, so... Yeah, now he's changing the laws about transporting...
Yeah, wine across province.
Across province, which is amazing, and it's kind of silly that you can't do it, so...
Yeah, really, it's nuts. But that's good for him to be doing that,
and yeah,
promoting what he believes in, and... He's got a wealth of knowledge in the media, so...
Well, that's the same reason we're doing this here, I think, is that we're sitting here and no one's talking about what we have to offer here. So.
Yeah, that's right. There's a few people writing a little bit of stuff every once in a while in the newspaper. There's a restaurant review or something, and once a year a grow guide comes out with a list of the farmers and what's available, but really nobody's diving into the... What's actually happening on a week-to-week basis kind of
get the dialogue out there.
Yeah.
So the more I get into food, they realize everything revolves around food.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, can't really do much without it.
No.
People go on vacation, they go to eat.
Yeah.
Really, that's always my best memories. I go somewhere, it's like, oh, I saw this nice thing, and we had this beautiful salmon. Or we had this wonderful cake, you know, like you're just... It's all about food.
Yeah.
Fill your belly, and then you feel good, right? So.
Like my bike tour last summer, I remember a lot about when we got to eat in restaurants and the bakeries, because, you know, eating noodles and cooked on the side of the road somewhere, it's sustenance, but it's not all that thrilling. But then when you get to town, you get to go have greasy Chinese food or a scone or something. Or
something the locals dream of, right?
Yeah, mouth-watering.
Nice.
So...
So yeah, I guess we got off subject, but yeah, it's been a bit of a busy few months for me. Definitely, I know you yourself with school, but now we can actually sit down. I've kind of cleared my board until September.
Good.
September's the big one that I'm looking forward to. September 23rd, because that's when the Flavor North Vancouver Island Picnic. Which sounds like we're starting to get a lot of restaurants on board.
Right.
Cool. A lot of producers, and it sounds like a lot of people are really interested to come out to this. So
good. Well, that'll be a huge event, and I imagine it's going to be wildly successful and ongoing year after year.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
We can pull it all off.
It's going to be a big ordeal. There's a lot involved with it. Like, it's a massive event, but
Yeah.
You know, well worth it if it goes over well, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Any chance you can get in an area with food and wine and you can sample a little bit of everyone's.
Yeah.
You know. Flavors.
That'll be great.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. So that's what I've been sort of kind of washing everything to the side and not focusing on that and putting my energies into that for the next 2 months at least, 3 months.
Yeah. So. Awesome.
Exciting.
I always look forward to that time of the year. A lot of people just look forward to the summer, but I always look forward to September, October. Those are my months.
Yeah.
Those are, like we talked about in the foraging podcast, and it's hunting season, and, you know, things are just, it's time to prepare for winter and get stuff put away and processed and preserved, and, you know, it's just available, and
That's when everything, the harvest is all ready, so you're mm-hmm. starting to pick everything off the farm, the last of the stuff's all coming in off the fields, so
yeah,
there's always an abundance of food, you know, it's yeah. got to come in before it freezes, so.
That's right. I like coming out of the woods, too, with my headlamp on after going out mushroom picking after work for a couple hours, and you start losing daylight, so you come, yeah, you're coming out, and it's pretty dark.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you got a sack of mushrooms, and and you come home and cook dinner with them. That's nice.
Good old mushroom feast.
Yeah.
But we got so much now that's starting to come out of the farmer's market.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
I know. We're just getting through the salad greens and getting into the good stuff. I think that's where we're seeing a bunch of different interesting things down at the market. I know. I'm trying to think. I got some nice green onions the other day.
Peppers.
You know, I got my first case of peppers from Fiesta Peppers the other day, which are always a good sign for me, and some cucumbers.
Yeah.
I know tomatoes are just starting to ripen up, so they're in the greenhouse, so there's a few places that are going to start getting some tomatoes going, so that's always, tomatoes are always one of my favorite things. It's funny, I'm not a big fan of raw tomatoes, but if I cook them, I love them in everything.
So. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, I guess the strawberries are starting to show up now. But I've been getting some really interesting meats from the market. I've been going to, when I first started kind of dedicating to buying local meat and getting more interested in grass-fed and sustainably raised meat, I was mostly going with the bison and pork and chicken. But now I've looked at a couple of different vendors there, and I bought ground goat this week.
That's interesting.
Just something I never tried, and I actually ate it tonight, but I made it in a dish that didn't turn out, so.
Not quite what you were expecting.
Yeah, so I can't really tell what the goat tasted like, because it was ruined by this other, the sauce that I made from a recipe, so anyway, I won't do that again, but I will buy more goat meat.
I always think goat's crazy because I don't know if you realize it, but it's the most eaten meat in the world of any other animal. Goat is the most consumed by humans.
Humans, yeah. So no, I've heard that before, and that's pretty it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, how many restaurants do you ever see with goat on the menu around here? Not many.
No, so. They call it Chevon. Chevon.
Yeah,
that's what it said on the. On the top label, it said Chevon, ground Chevon, and on the bottom it said ground goat. So it's just a way to make it sound a little bit less.
One of my distributors came up to me with a goat and said, I've got this on sale, and I was so close to buying it just to try it out. But
if you called it Chevon, people might have bought it.
Yeah.
But no, it's maybe. Really hard to say. I mean.
Well, and then they ask what that is, and you say it's goat, and that's. You're right back to the same boat.
So. Yeah, but I never have really thought about eating goat until the last little while, and it just makes sense. I mean, it's not much different than a lamb.
No, not at all.
It's an omnivore like a pig. It's not totally a grass eater or herbivore. It'll eat pretty much anything, but that's okay because it's meant to eat anything, so.
Yeah, and the milk is great for cheese. Like,
oh, yeah.
Big fan of goat cheese.
Yeah. And they're a really good animal for clearing land that's kind of like scotch broom and stuff. I think goats eat scotch broom. I don't think anything else does.
So, perfect for that stuff, right?
Yeah. So I bought some goat, and I bought some deer liver from the same farm. Or not deer liver, beef liver.
Nice.
And that was, I ate that last night. It was really good too. Couple of weeks ago, I bought a pheasant.
Oh, that's nice.
And, oh, yeah, wonderful meat.
Yeah.
I love pheasant.
People always give it a little bit chewy. But they're always expecting chicken.
Yeah. And, yeah, I can see it. It's because the leg meat is smaller than a chicken leg. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole bird's smaller.
Yeah.
And there's more connective tissue in there. So when you do bite it, yeah, you get more of that. But I'm also... I've eaten dozens and dozens of wild ducks over the years, so I'm used to that. And
oh yeah,
and the pheasant was a lot like a wild duck. It's farm raised. It wasn't a wild pheasant, obviously, but there's not a heck of a lot of difference. You know, they're not genetically modified or
no, it's hybrided. Super flavorful flesh, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was all dark meat. The breast meat's even dark.
Oh yeah.
So
see, that's sort of the characteristics of it. Whereas yeah. Chicken breasts are just this.
They're tasteless.
Well, they don't work the muscles, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a funny one I heard from. You hear sometimes in restaurants.
Chewy.
It's a bit chewy. It's like, well, it's pheasant.
Yeah. It's not chicken. If you want chicken, order chicken. And I've had from CVU Farms some venison, and they have those Highland cows,
the Harry Coo.
So I bought some of that too. I haven't tried it yet, but no, it's been fun just trying different things. And
yeah, no, it's always good to get down there and pull something new out there.
And there's a lot of vendors that are selling sustainably raised meat there.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, you know, switch it up and buy a little bit from them, maybe not every week, or you know, just so I'm spreading my money around a little bit, and I get to try a few different things.
Try a few different things there, yeah. No, yeah. That's the way to do it, so.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And I always feel guilty when I run through there and I don't buy anything.
Yeah.
And it's partly because I've bought already, and partly it's just like, I don't know if I'll use it.
Yeah, that's it.
Or there's enough for me to use it, and I'm always trying to be... When I get it... It's like I have one day to do something with it, and if I don't do anything with it, it doesn't get used.
Yeah.
Because I'm on my days off. So that's always my trick or my biggest concern with doing a farmer's market and buying stuff, because I hate to waste that stuff because it's so good. So,
yeah, that's the
thing. When you get that good quality stuff, and I know what I'm looking for. So.
Yeah, when I serve to my daughter, I always make sure I tell her to eat everything, because this is, you know, this is special. It's not just, I mean, any animal giving its life for us to eat it is, you know, it's something to be respected. But I have more, a huge respect for the people that produce the food, that when I get it on my plate, I don't want to waste it, because it feels like I'm disrespecting the person who put their blood, sweat, and tears into being, you know, making this meat for me to eat, or vegetables or whatever. Right, so
yeah, well, it's weird to see that disconnect that we have from our food, and it's a lot of us realizing that we've been disconnected from our food for so long. It's like, hey, wait,
yeah, where does this come from?
How do I eat this?
Yeah, so. And what goes into it? You know, is it because there's so much processed food, and people are just completely oblivious to what actually is in what they're eating? It seems like,
mm-hmm.
And Do you know how to do anything but boil water or put something in the microwave? But there's a ton of people that are that way.
Oh, I know.
So,
I always think when it comes to cooking, I don't know a lot. And I know there's lots of questions that I still have, that I haven't mastered a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I start talking in front of people, I realize how much I do know.
Yeah.
And not thinking that it's that big a knowledge that I have, but I actually have quite a bit of knowledge that a lot of people don't have, and so it's really interesting just to get that out there, or give my knowledge out to everyone. Like that cooking demonstration is neat when people are asking about scallops and ceviche, and
yeah, they just don't know. I didn't even know what ceviche was either.
Yeah,
I've heard of it. I'm okay, well, I'll find out.
Yeah, and a lot of people, oh, it's raw, and it's like, well, it's raw, but it's cooked in the acids, so it's
not really
technically raw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Like, it is cooking it.
It was like, I was going to say, oh, when you open up that avocado and you smack the pit with your knife and give it a twist?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how many people were just blown away by that. I heard people out in the audience going, oh, I use a spoon to take it out. Or, I always wondered how.
Yeah.
I thought everybody knew that.
But people have their different food backgrounds that they know how to do that style. And they know how to do that style, but there's so much out there that, yeah. That's why it's hard when you go into the grocery store or the farmer's market and you pick up something like a kohlrabi.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, what's a kohlrabi? You
know? Yeah. I might be able to find one in the grocery store, but I don't really know what to do with one.
Yeah, and I saw those at the market this weekend, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're great. They're like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Are they a root vegetable?
They're a big bulb that just grows up like a, not like a cabbage, but it's cut like a...
It's big and hard though? Like a...
It's a green ball.
Okay.
Basically, it's got a couple leaves that kind of branch out from it's really nice. You can just cut the skin off it and slice it, cube it up, and... And
is it nice white fleshed inside?
White flesh.
Okay.
I want to say sort of a radishy.
Is it like a jicama kind of?
Yeah, not quite. But it's along those same kind of lines, yeah. You know? So it's an Austrian.
Oh, really?
Austrian vegetable.
So. Oh, I would have thought it was Asian.
Yeah,
for
no.
For some reason.
I know it's from Europe, so it's a European, Germanic.
Well, I'll have to pick one up, give it a shot.
It's one of my wife's favorites, so
she'll
just hack into one and start chewing off on pieces. So
I've been buying cabbage lately. Cabbage is awesome. It's dirt cheap for one thing.
Yeah,
you can do a million things with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now that I'm doing this paleo diet, I can't eat pasta and I can't eat potatoes and I can't eat grains and bread. So if I make a stir fry, instead of putting it on noodles, I put it on some steamed cabbage, or I'll put it on some spaghetti squash or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Great ways of doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a huge cabbage the size of my head's like $2 at the grocery store.
And honestly, organic. I think cabbage was destroyed because of people boiling it and, you know,
Boil the crap out of it.
And not doing anything. It's flavorful, like fish tacos.
A little
crispy
cabbage.
Crispy crunch tacos. Or
yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't need to be cooked to be good. Yeah. I mean, coleslaw is great, and you don't have to drown it in mayonnaise to make it.
No, you don't at all.
It's got that little bit of a peppery to it. And
I use it in my Asian sauce. My cooking class, I did a miso dressing, and I just did a little bit of purple cabbage in there with the carrots and celery. And bet you jicama would have been great in there.
Yeah.
Throwing all these fun things in there. Just those crunchy vegetables, right?
So yeah.
Mix it all up. So, yeah, that's... Definitely cabbage is a great vegetable. And I'm getting into sauerkraut, too, which is...
Sauerkraut's really good.
And if you do it right, like not buy it in a can in the grocery store...
Make it? For real? Yeah. That's what I want to do. Because I just was listening to another podcast today about kind of homesteading stuff and being able to... be somewhat self-sufficient in your food, and he was talking about sauerkraut and how you shouldn't can it because the heat kills all the good bacteria that's in the sauerkraut.
Yeah.
So you should make it and store it in your fridge for a couple of weeks and just eat it while it's still okay to eat before it goes bad or rancid or whatever sauerkraut does.
Right.
So that was cool to hear because you always see sauerkraut in the store in a jar. Well, how do you seal that jar with lots of heat? So you buy canned sauerkraut, it's not, I mean, it tastes like sauerkraut, but it doesn't have the benefits that a traditionally fermented sauerkraut would have.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to another podcast, actually, with a gentleman who does it, and just how he sticks them in the buckets and just puts a plate on top of them.
Yeah.
Just the weight of that plate over it's a month or so.
It
just takes forever, but well worth the wait.
Right? Yeah. So. No, that's something I want to look into doing. I mean, I'm just totally... Lately, I've just been nuts about wanting to grow more food and just be a little more self-sufficient and get more gardens happening. And stuff takes time. I can't do it overnight, but
the interest is
building, and I want to... Mm-hmm. A lot of ideas that I want to come through, and sauerkraut's one of them. So I'm hoping that maybe this winter I can get some cabbage growing it outside, and then I'll have some my own cabbage that I can sauerkraut, and that would be awesome.
Well, I know there's a few places that have been doing really well with cabbage here, so...
Yeah, there's no shortage of cabbage in the Comox Valley. That's for sure. So,
for sure.
Yeah, if I can't grow it, I can buy it, and it's not going to cost me very much.
Shellfish and cabbage, and you're set.
Yeah, raw oysters and sauerkraut. Probably be pretty good.
That's one other event I forgot I didn't even talk about that I just... Going back to was, Avenue Restaurant there. I teamed up with Aaron...
Right.
Aaron Rail there, and we did that dinner for, he does his chef's tables, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We just did a big center table, one big table. I think we had 44 people that came in for dinner, and yeah, put out a beautiful, I think we did a 5-course dinner, so it was a nice spread, and that was hitting some of the local farms, getting some nice greens, I think from Freedom Farms was one of the ones we hit up there. And yeah, they were, it was great, great time, good dinner.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. I think the whole thing now with a lot of places is sustainability.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm really just blown away by all the things I've been learning over the last couple of years about what actually happens in the corporate system of our food. And
yeah,
it just makes so much sense to just keep it local and support the people that are, you know, that can actually make a good living doing it versus some corporation making lots of money to make you crappy food that'll make you sick. So, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the new, like, local food is sort of the trend right now.
Yeah.
And I know I was reading a survey from the BC restaurant, or no, it was a Canadian Restaurant Association. Just the results from a survey they sent out to chefs across Canada about what's food trends and what are the up and coming, what are people looking at working, and the whole thing is local.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to see it changing to more of a sustainable food, more than just local, that they'll be local, sustainable, and people are start going to ask those questions about. And people are asking that question, where's my food come from?
Yeah, oh, totally.
And it's sometimes hard being in a restaurant and you're dealing with 20 different people, trying to remember exactly where all your stuff came from, which can be quite a challenge.
Well, that's a huge challenge because you're trying to source good local food when you can, but you also got to make money and you also got to serve product or put things on your menu that aren't going to cost people an arm and a leg, which can be tough when you're buying strictly local because it, not always, but it can be more expensive. So, you know,
it's also the ability to get it and have enough quantities of it. And,
right.
I don't have a daily changing menu. I change my menu every 6 months.
Right.
And it's not a dramatic shift. You know, I change a couple. We just did actually last Wednesday. Just to add to my last week, I did
it. You did a new menu too.
Put an extra menu on there. Yeah, I had year end, new menu, cooking class, and the
cooking show,
cooking demonstration.
Jeez, no wonder you're so
and Father's Day. So
holy cow!
That's why we're doing this today, not yesterday, because I just laid in bed. I think all yesterday.
Yeah, so. You sounded like you're. Should probably go to the hospital or something when I talked to you yesterday. You sound terrible.
I just needed a day to recoup and. And now I'm feeling a lot better and
that's good.
Ready to go back to work.
Yeah. Well, hopefully now that you've got your plate cleared for the summer, you'll have some more recreation time.
Yeah, that's my plan.
And hopefully we can take this out and go out and see some of these farms that some of these farmers that we're purchasing product from at the farmers market and different things. So
for sure. I think it'll be fun to get our, we should take our girls with us. And
yeah, we got a wide open invitation to go out to the bison farm, so
definitely
talk to them a few times.
That's a fun place to go out to. I think everyone likes to talk about their food.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
Not hard to convince people to sit down with you and tell you what's going on. So
yeah. No, that's good. So I guess that's about it for today. Unless you got anything else to add?
I think I've talked a lot. So
yeah, and we talked for an hour before we started this.
So it's, I think we're at a good point to
wrap up.
And thank everyone for listening, and hopefully we won't wait 2 months to do another episode.
Yeah.
We'll have someone else interesting to chat with us next time.
If you have any communications you want to do with us, our email address is ediblevalley@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page and at Edible Valley on Twitter. And feel free to drop us a line. And that's Edible Valley for this week. I'm Blaine Prowse.
I'm John Fraser. Good night.